I will call the April 13th, 2010 meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. First item on the agenda is the approval. Mr. Baker, do you have any changes?
Yes, I would recommend that we change the order to move under myself the second item, Proclamation Fair Housing Month, to become the first item, and then the item Proclamation National Library Week to become the second item. Also, under executive session, I'd like to recommend that we delete land acquisition.
Does council have any other requested changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended by Mr. Baker. Is there a second, please? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. The March 23rd and the March 30th minutes were in your packet. Are there any changes or comments? If not, I'll consider them approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first letter is dated March 25th, 2010, to Mr. David Baker. On behalf of the members of the Sussex County Amateur Radio Emergency Service, I want to thank you very much for your recognition which you bestowed on our group this week. We are proud to support the county, and we're delighted to receive the plaque that you and council members provided us. Your thoughtful thank you means a great deal to each of our 69 members and makes our commitment to voluntary public service even stronger. The second letter I have is from Dorothy Boucher, the member of the ad hoc committee on manufactured housing. Having to work all day on the 13th, I find I'm unable to attend the council hearing today. I am extremely disappointed because it's come to my attention that despite an understanding stated to me by Mr. Baker after the March 4th meeting of the ad hoc committee, legal proceedings against people involved in code issues that we were discussing were not going to be pursued until some final recommendations were made and approved by the council. My understanding is that Mr. Burrell has sent a letter to Jeannie Sis saying he is going to ask for a dismissal of her appeal if she does not come up with some additional paperwork by April 20th. The entire issue of amnesty, including Ms. Sis' situation, is on the list I have presented to the Director of Planning and Zoning, Lawrence Lang, the County Administrator, Dave Baker, every member of the County Council, and Mr. Everett Moore, attorney for the county. It is imperative that the circumstances surrounding the code interpretations and so-called violations be fairly discussed and resolved in additional committee meetings before any further legal action is taken by Mr. Burrell's office or Mr. Moore's office. Mr. Baker told me that things were on hold after the March meeting. This type of action by the county is not acceptable, and I can't express my feelings strongly enough in this letter. I wish I could be there in person and relay my complete dismay with this behavior. To all concerned parties in this action, I do not accept the continuance of this disregard of a citizen's rights after spending precious times attempting to resolve issues that have caused exactly this type of situation to happen. It needs to end. It needs to end now so we can truly, honestly, and fairly settle the issues at hand. I fully intend to pursue my recommendations, and I totally support the issue of amnesty being granted in case of Ms. Jeannie Sisk and Mr. Frank DeMeo facing prosecution for a similar type issue so that these two people are not singled out and persecuted while their very issues are being discussed and hopefully be resolved before they become burdens on others in the future. Frankly, I'm at a loss to understand what Mr. Burrell's rush is to pursue this while it is a factor in our meetings and discussions. I implore all of you to start standing up for the citizens of Sussex County and stop this type of persecution under the county code. Grant amnesty and give us time to work out the very severe problems existing in the interpretation and application of the code. Dorothy Boucher. Those are the only letters I have.
Okay. Go ahead, if I could
comment. At this point in time, we have not taken, to my knowledge, I checked with Mr. Lank today and Mr. Allen Holloway from our constable's office, we have not taken any further enforcement actions. We put a hold on the enforcement actions on those two particular issues pending the final committee report to the county council, which is not, the committee met Thursday. and they have not, we have not presented that report to the council at this point, so.
Okay, I think Mrs.
We will call Mr. Burrell just to be sure that he's on the same page, but I know we were all, we had this, I had asked that this go, these two particular.
Okay, because she was thinking of.
Items be put on hold, and okay, that's what was done.
She was looking to make an appeal, so she doesn't need to make an appeal at this point, is what we're saying.
Not right now.
Okay.
We put this on hold until the recommendation from the Manufactured Housing Committee would be made to the county council.
Could somebody notify those two people so that,
yes.
So they
yeah.
know that that's
yes.
what the situation is?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
We just received that yesterday, and she wanted it read in the correspondence.
Okay. But just note, yeah, just make sure they're noted.
But
they
that's assuming that we pass an amnesty. That's
well,
all assuming.
We're not
that
saying
the
that we will postpone enforcement forever. We're just saying we would postpone enforcement to see what the recommendations of
yes.
the committee were to the
I
council
understand.
And what the council's
yes.
position would be on.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a little premature to do anything at this point because
right.
we don't want to, you know,
right.
jump the gun. So
I don't think we've jumped any guns. We've been over a year messing with her now.
Mr. Baker?
Okay.
Yes. The first item of business that under the county administrator is proclamation for Fair Housing Month, and we have some representatives from our Community Development and Housing Office and from our Sussex County Realtors, and they're welcome to come up. I believe Ms. Betty Kaspersky would like to speak about this, but go ahead up to the podium, and if you'd like to identify yourself. And while they're coming up, I'll read the proclamation proclaiming the month of April as Fair Housing Month in Sussex County, whereas April marks the 42nd anniversary of the passage of the U.S. Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, as amended, which enunciated a national policy of fair housing without regard to race, color, creed, national origin, sex, familial status, and handicap, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all citizens. Whereas the Sussex County Council, as well as this Association of Realtors, are committed to highlight the Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968 by continuing to address discrimination in our community, to support programs that will educate the public about the right to equal housing opportunities, and to plan partnership efforts with other organizations to help ensure every American for their right to fair housing. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Sussex County Council that April 2010 be declared Fair Housing Month, commencing a year-long commemoration of the U.S. Fair Housing Law in Sussex County, and be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council encourages all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this celebration throughout the year. Thank you.
Good here?
Thanks.
Just want to thank the council for the supporting us in many aspects of fair housing. This past year, we've done a little bit of shift because of the particular economy that we've been facing, and we've been concentrating on workforce housing to be able to bring people to live closer to their employer and have less time in transportation, utilize less gasoline. And at the same time, we've addressed the issue of foreclosure prevention in our county, and we've had several forums and in conjunction with the insurance commissioner's office as well as the attorney general's office as far as to help homeowners to avoid foreclosure and to the various programs that are out there. We've also been working with Brandy Bennett and the first stimulus package that came in the end of 2008 from our government, from the federal government, the $1.9 million has been awarded to Sussex County. I don't know how that $19 million, we only got $19 million to Delaware, but $1.9, we just have to get a few more people to fill out those census forms so we can get a little more money next time. But that $1.9 million has been allotted to be assisting as far as people purchasing foreclosed properties. So we remove some of the distressed properties out of inventory. We help to stimulate the real estate economy in our area and at the same time get people into homes. So we had a celebration actually about 2 weeks ago at the Realtor Board where 11 families that had just received homes through this program And it's five different zip codes in Sussex County that are entitled to these funds. It's Greenwood, Milford, Laurel, Seaford, and Georgetown. So if they're purchasing a foreclosed property in there, they have an opportunity through the stimulus package of receiving somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000 to assist them in purchasing that home, whether it's repairs or whatever is needed. So although you say, well, what's that fair housing? Well, we're trying to be fair to all members of Sussex County to allow them to purchase and to, you know, stimulate our own economy at the same time. It's been a lot of work in the background for realtors. You know, it's been a challenging 3 years for this group, and as well as, you know, all business owners around here. But we do see bright skies coming. And we do see some, you know, continued improvement in activity in the real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
So we will continue our push for fair housing for everyone and to bring things back to where we'd like to see them. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm going to present this to you
okay.
now. Sue Bramhall has told me that by presenting this fair housing proclamation that I'll get 3 credit hours.
No, don't give it to him.
The important head is shaking now. It doesn't work that way?
No.
Well, then you can read your own where at. Anyway, I'll read, I guess. It's proclaiming the month of April as a fair housing month in Sussex County. It's got a bunch of whereas. Here we go. Whereas April marks the 42nd anniversary of the passage of the U.S. Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, as amended, which enunciated, watch that word, a national policy of fair housing without regard to race, color, creed, national origin, sex, familial status, and handicap, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all citizens. And I'll stop there because there's a lot more whereas, and I think we're all familiar with it. Anyway, so it's signed by our president, Vance Phillips, dated April 13th, 2010. And who's taking a picture?
Chip, where are you?
Where's Chip?
I seen Chip.
All right, there you go. Congratulations to all of you. There, got it?
Thank you.
What?
Go ahead and do the picture now. You'll do libraries, and I'll come back with a camera. No.
We
blew it, Chip. You blew it.
Thank you for coming.
I want to mention something. You know,
Ms. Deaver?
Not all of our new communities are getting census forms. And they need. There's a number they can call. They can go online to find the areas where they can go to pick up forms. But we really need to get the word out to people who live in new communities, because I understand they are not getting those census forms by mail. So that could really hurt us
right.
if they don't get out and get to those centers mm-hmm. for their forms.
We did refer one of these complaints
mm-hmm.
that Mrs. Deaver brought to our attention last week
that was
to the Census
Grove.
Bureau,
mm-hmm.
and their recommendation from the Census Bureau was that the individuals contact the Census Bureau. There is a telephone number. We have access through our website
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
And then they have different centers, and they can obtain the form from at one of these centers and fill it out and send it in.
I hope they'll do it, because
that's a very good point.
It's not as easy as if they were receiving them at home.
And I don't know. I thought I heard a rumor there. Some of the addresses were still these box number, you know, rural route type things, and some of them weren't delivered. Is that any truth to that rumor?
We have heard that also.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't received one at my house, and I don't know if they're still have the old box number, but I still haven't. I'm still undocumented.
Painter's Mill is another one that didn't get them.
Georgia,
Painter's Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I filled one out in Florida over
That's
the last year.
Yeah, I'll figure that.
We would like to thank the realtors for helping us with a neighborhood stabilization program, and Mr. Guy is here now for.
They'll come back up.
I think they got a picture. Chip. Yeah, they got a picture.
You got a couple good. She's okay.
She'll share them with
the right. Our local realtors were very helpful to our community development housing division, Bill Lacates and Brandy Bennett, and. Everyone who's worked on this program, because I think we're very proud of the fact that in Sussex County we have people living in these houses, and I don't think that's the case anywhere else in the state of Delaware.
Mm.
But through the effort of everyone, I think we'd be very proud of that. And the next item is National Library Week, and with us today we have Carol Fitzgerald, our library director, and I'll read the proclamation for National Library Week. Whereas libraries everywhere play a vital role in supporting the quality of life in their communities, whereas our nation's schools, academic, public, and special libraries make a difference in the lives of millions of Americans today more than ever, whereas librarians are trained professionals helping people of all ages and backgrounds find and interpret the information they need to live, learn, and work in a challenging economy, and whereas libraries serve as crucial technology hubs for people in need of free web access, computer training, and assistance finding job resources, whereas libraries are part of the American dream, places for opportunity, education, self-help, and lifelong learning, and whereas library use is up nationwide among all types of library users, continuing a decade-long trend, and whereas libraries, librarians, library workers, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims National Library Week April 11th to the 17th, 2010, encourages all residents to visit the library this week to take advantage of the wonderful library resources available. Communities thrive at your library.
Okay, and there's packets there. In these packets, we have some just a sampling of some of the programs that are going on this week and further on into the year at the various libraries. We are continuing to be very busy. And just to go back to Mrs. Deaver's comment about access to census forms, one of the suggestions that we have made is that libraries should be a location.
One of the locations.
One of the locations. Yeah. So we have suggested that if they, as they look at evaluating this, I mean, it wouldn't be for 10 years, but hopefully they would take that into account, because we are the resource for tax returns and other informational forms, and it makes a whole lot of sense. And we actually have had people referred to the library, and we don't have the forms, but we do have the information where they can get the forms. But hopefully they'll get the idea that we are also a resource for those information packets. So we are very, very busy. We hope that you will visit the library this week and any week. We hope that you will make use of the libraries. They are very, very busy places, and we are working hard to help people get the resources they need for jobs and other information that they may need. So I thank you very much.
Thank you.
I noticed that Milford kind of stands apart from the rest with respect to patron visits, and computer use, and programs. Do they have something?
Well, they have done something a little different in their collection of data.
Lewis.
So I'm not quite sure. It's in the patron visits, and I'm not really sure.
Lewis has free time circulation, but only...
They're giving something away, I'll bet, Vance.
Thank you very much for everything you do. I wanted to present this to you today personally, because we appreciate our libraries in this county.
The circulation
is recognized.
173.
Well,
thank you.
Continue to keep up the good work.
Thank you.
The circulation. Let's
see if we can turn this.
Milford. Yeah. Wow.
They mean half the circulation of people come to her.
Thank you very much.
The next item is Dial a Story, which I was very familiar with years ago when my kids were little, but
come on,
I thought it might be a good time.
Well, this just serves as a reminder
to remind people about the availability of it. Yeah.
This just serves as a reminder that we do operate a Dial a Story. We have three lines, and in your packet there is a bookmark that has the three phone numbers. We do have staff who read the stories. They change them twice a week. Our third line is a Spanish line. We're looking to get a new person. Our volunteer can't do it anymore, so we're looking to get a new person to do our Dial a Story in Spanish for our Spanish-speaking children. This is one way to continue to encourage young children and to get them ready to read by hearing stories. And it's also a nice thing. A lot of grandparents do it. Dave. I do it for my grandchildren. because it is a little different voice. And in fact, we have one of our staff members who reads the stories, has her son listen to them, and she doesn't do it all the time, but when he listens to her read it, that's mommy. And then now this month someone else is reading, and he listened and he said, that's not you, mommy. So it's a very popular service, and we just want to remind people that it is there for anyone 24 hours a day. Thank you.
Mr. Guy has issued a press release to try to get the word out.
Good.
And then the last item is the administrator's report. The first item is state electric energy bids. As per the attached information, we are pleased to announce that Sussex County will save approximately 17.87% in our electric supply charges from Delmarva Power as a result of the rebid of electric supply for our contract that expires June 30. This will result in approximately $248,000 in annual savings to Sussex County government in our various electric bills, especially for our wastewater treatment plants, pump stations, and larger facilities. The county is a partner with the state of Delaware and Kent County in purchasing electric. We believe that this provides additional savings through a greater bulk purchase. The next item, annual county prayer breakfast. The 33rd annual county prayer breakfast is scheduled for Tuesday, May 11th, beginning at 7 a.m. at the Delmarva Christian High School, 150 Airport Road, Georgetown. Expenses for the breakfast are covered by the ticket price and sponsorships by various individuals and organizations. Tickets are available by calling 855-7743. Delaware State Police report, February 2010. As per attached, during February, the state police handled 3,229 complaints in Sussex County. They made 1,930 traffic arrests, 337 felony criminal arrests, and 505 misdemeanor criminal arrests during the month. And then finally, county employee biweekly pay cycle. As previously approved by the county council, biweekly pay for all county employees will be implemented on April 16th. This will result in a savings for the county council and administrative staff in administrative staff time in processing two fewer payrolls each year. The estimated savings per year is $12,000. County paramedics are currently paid on the same cycle. Non-paramedic county employees will start this cycle with a paycheck on April 16th that includes payment for two extra days, since this pay period includes 11 working days and one paid holiday. The next payroll on April 30th will be a regular biweekly pay based on a two-week cycle. Employees should contact the personnel or accounting departments with any questions that they may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Ms. Webb.
Thank you. This is probably one of the most exciting topics we'll talk about today, and that's a change to our investment policy concerning collateral modifications. As you know, with our cash accounts, we hold collateral on our bank balances that's over and above the FDIC insurance to ensure that they're safe. And in the memo that I have in the packet, there was a little example that if we had $150,000 in the bank and the FDIC insurance was $100,000, then we would have secured collateral for the $50,000 in excess. And this collateral is required to be held by U.S. Treasuries or Ginnie Mae Securities, which is an obligation of the U.S. government. And this is the safest type of collateral to have. It is our current policy to have this collateral at 120% over the bank balance. And what I'm recommending to council today is to reduce this margin to 102% of the bank balance for the following reasons. Most all local municipalities, state of Delaware, other two counties, city of Dover, also require the 102%. This reduction of collateral, although while we're still covered, will increase the competitiveness of the banks to bid on our certificates of deposit, as they don't have to buy as much collateral to cover. So hopefully when banking does turn around and banks are interested in our funds, we will be able to have some more competitiveness with the interest rates, and also some of the smaller banks that can't afford to go at 120% might enter them into the to market to bid on our certificates of deposit. And our financial advisor, Public Advisory Consultants, also recommends this change. In the packet was also a little paragraph from our financial statements that talked about the custodial credit risk and collateral and why it's important that we have collateral and why it's important that it's a direct obligation of the U.S. government, if you have any questions on that. I think this makes our deposits as secure as possible. As we've seen in the last 2 years, we can see why it's important to have our bank balances collateralized, because as the economy had turned, basically you woke up any morning and anything could have happened with the banks. But I do feel that we can accomplish the same security with our collateral being at 102% versus the 120%. If there's any questions.
What was the thinking behind having it at 120? Do you remember?
Well, maybe Dave can chime in. It's probably at one time just a safeguard.
Right. It provides a different,
cushion.
Higher level of security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is,
for
you know,
reason?
If interest rates, for instance, if interest rates go up, the value of the security, if it's a long-term security, goes down. So that
sure.
If you're holding, a 5-year treasury bill, and interest rates all of a sudden go spiked up,
mm-hmm.
then the value of that bond could actually fall below the par value, for instance.
Reducing
anyway,
the collateral, so that gave you a wider margin.
That's why
you
try to get a little bit of a cushion, but given the current interest rate scenario, it seems that this would be more in line with what others are doing, but also it would still provide us with a very high level of security over and above the FDIC limits, and hopefully it will enable us to obtain a little bit higher interest rates, because as Mrs. Webb mentioned, the interest rates we're receiving now are just bare bones. It's really practically, it's very minimal amounts that we are receiving in interest.
Something else to be noted, these collaterals held at a third party, and with computers, they have ways of daily tracking values of what those U.S. Treasury securities are worth, and they would be, with agreements, required to keep it at 102. So with the, you know, how the computer and software programs have been utilized, that information travels so much faster. I have a motion if there's no further questions.
All right, please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the modification of the current investment policy holding collateral at 102%.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Motion second to approve the policy by collateral modification policy led by Ms. Webb. Is there any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Health insurance recommendations. Last week, as you know, or 2 weeks ago, I guess we were off last week, we renewed our health insurance with Integra. We heard the report from our group hospital health insurance consultant, and recommended that we continue along the path that we have been with the renewal and our current provider, also with the self-insurance plan. But at this time of year, we also look at our plan and see if we can make any enhancements or changes to kind of tweak it to make it better. And as you got in your packet, a listing of some changes we would recommend making. Here today is Mr. Dave Smith and Mr. Denny Cordry. I'm going to briefly mention some of the points, and if we have any specific questions on any of the recommendations, Mr. Smith and Mr. Cordry are here to help answer. We already have the disease management program, and we're looking at increasing the awareness in this program. You can save some real money here in this program as long as you have participants that utilize the program. Increase the promotion of our health benefits waiver, which means that those that are not on our health insurance plan, they get a stipend for not being on the plan. So any of those that, you know, feel they could get health insurance coverage elsewhere, they do get a stipend for doing that and coming off of our plan. Encourage the use of urgent care centers versus an emergency room situation. And on that topic, what wasn't in your package, because we were getting information, is a listing of urgent care centers mapped out throughout the county, throughout the state, actually. It is cheaper to go to an urgent care center rather than the emergency room. So just that our employees are aware that this is an option to them. The high-performance formulary plan design, this means moving people towards generic drug use if it's right for their situation. A 24-hour nursing hotline, which also might reduce a rush to the emergency room if maybe, you know, people with small children, they could call this nurse's hotline and get some quick answers to get them through the night or whatever situation until they can make a doctor's appointment. And the specialty pharmacy program, whereas this would be managing high-cost medications, for instance, rather than dispensing a specialized drug for 3 months, that they would slow down and only offer it for like a week, and if it doesn't work, then you're not out a whole prescription of 3 months versus, you know, make sure that the high specialty costly drug works first before it's dispensed in a large quantity.
I wonder what would be under that. I guess we could ask their experts here.
And also, we're recommending that a health and wellness newsletter be prepared so that we can share information with employees on subjects as far as concerning health insurance education and health care costs, so that they realize that them being proactive in their own health care helps us control our costs and that we all share in the benefits of doing that. So Mr. Smith and Denny, if you want to speak to any of the, answer any questions maybe that are more detailed. And as you can see, these are really soft changes. We're not recommending at this time any changes in copays or employee contributions.
Glad to answer any questions. Susie has gone over most of the recommendations. We certainly agree with the council when they were very interested in the disease management program. It's kind of a difficult name. I don't like to label people with diseases, but they're really a long-term management program of medical conditions. People with COPD, chronic occlusionary pulmonary disease, cardiac problems, diabetes, a lot of times need coaching along the way to encourage them to stay on the path that the physicians have determined for them and avoid emergency room visits, short-term hospital stays, and those type of things. And we've had this in place since 2007, although we've seen a decline in the use of the disease management program because it's been a voluntary program. And one of the steps that we want to take with the county is working on a little bit more of an incentive to have people in there. We have been getting an 8-to-10-to-1 return on the investment in those programs, and last year it was over $500,000 that was saved by utilizing case management, disease management. So we're in total agreement with that. We're just trying to figure out best practices of managing that on a long-term basis and encouraging the employees to participate. We're down to 4 people participating in that program right now. So, and the year before it was probably 4 or 5 times that many. So that's a goal that we jointly have joined together in. The benefits waiver typically affects the people that have been retirees from the state or the Army, the federal forces, those type of things, where they have medical benefits that are already paid for, but they've come to work in their second job for the county, and so they're able to waive the county benefits and still receive a stipend. So there may be others who are taking advantage of that, but I think those were the primary people that were targeted. The urgent care centers, just to give you a kind of an idea of the type of return that will provide is that an urgent care center is typically about a $70 charge, where an emergency room use with the attending physician there is about a $1,300 an encounter charge. And we had almost $600,000 of emergency room charges last year in the county, and only 19 visits to urgent care centers, which was about $4,000 in charges, you know, or less. So when we're talking about how to encourage that, number one is awareness, you know, where are these centers? And Beebe Hospital is doing something new in Rehoboth. They're opening an urgent care center in the Kmart in June, which will be a facility there. The Eden Center in Dover. We've got the one in Seaford. And I think there's another one that's currently being used in Milton, and I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head. Now, there are four urgent care centers that are available within the county area, and one outside in Dover, but those are ones that are available. There are a number in Salisbury. There are, as we go west,
around
east,
seven.
In different areas there. So there are not as many as we'd like to see, but I think people are catching on to the fact that these are good places to go. They're inexpensive. It saves them money out of their wallet when they go there. They're getting good treatment. And with the nurse call line, which is the kind of the boost to that, it will give them a 24/7 access to emergency services before they go to the emergency room. So we're hoping that that will cut down in the cost.
Can I ask a question about
yes.
that? It was just, I'm reading this handout.
Yes.
And this red page says the urgent medical facilities, one net pro PPO is not accepted. So when I look at the map, and then it has blue anyway, the one over in the Millville area, number three, is only open weekends, and then the one in Seaford. So that's, if we went to any of these other ones, like the one you said, Kmart, our insurance is not accepted, it says.
No, we're going to cover those as out-of-network urgent care centers.
In other words,
you can go to
any of those, exactly. And we're still covered. Okay.
Exactly. The reason for that is the cost is so much less than the okay. emergency room at approved one
net
facility.
I was reading this wrong then. I'm sorry.
You would have to pay the bill up front and
but get reimbursed when
get
we
reimbursed.
Come back.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
what happens, okay. out-of-network.
Out-of-network. Okay, because I was going to say we didn't have much coverage if that's... Because and for some reason, the rest of the state's got PPO everywhere.
That's right.
But in Sussex County, we're a little
sparse. They're very definitely, that's true.
Why would that be? Why would BB not, their facility not be on our
It's
network?
Not open yet, for one thing. The facility.
Sure, I think my mother's gone to the one
the
outside
Kmart's
of Rehoboth.
I'm talking about the one in Kmart.
It's open.
Outside
it's
of
open now?
Yeah. My mother's
yeah.
been to it, yeah.
yeah.
Okay, because it said in the article that we read that it wasn't opening until June. So it is opening now?
Open.
Yes.
It's been advertised. Open.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that one in Millville, Georgia, is open like summertime. It's open.
Well, it goes 7 days a week in the summertime, but now just, in the off season. But we do get sick down there in the off season.
You do?
Yes, we do. And on Tuesdays and
Wednesdays.
Tuesdays, usually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another education thing. I don't know that they're all named urgent care, so people might think it's just another doctor's office where they have to make a visit, and that's where we can come in with education. I went to one for ear problem, but it was just because it was after hours, couldn't find a doctor, I was in pain, and my only other choice was to go to an emergency room, and I didn't realize it was an urgent care center. It's really just like a doctor's office with extended
yeah.
hours. So that would be, it doesn't have to say urgent care in place of emergency room. It can just be.
Back to ambient care, you don't even know that's an urgent care in
right.
Seaford. It just says ambient care.
That's important to get
Most
out.
Most of them are not labeled urgent care
right.
centers, but they are outside of the hospital setting. And
well, we ought to have some kind of handout, Danny, that
right.
really specifies these so employees all over the county, no matter where they live,
mm-hmm.
they know where one is.
And there's some thought of giving more incentives to people using that and, you know, maybe waiving the co-pays or doing something to encourage them to use that rather than the hospital setting, which is a $75 co-pay to use emergency room.
What do we have there, nurses, RNs?
Yes.
no physicians.
Oh, there's, yeah, there's doctors.
There are some physicians.
Nurse practitioners.
Yes. Nurse practitioners. And
they can write prescriptions and things of that nature.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Yes.
The one
and
I went to, one
nice
doctor.
Thing is that CVS, which is your pharmacy benefit manager, is in their own stores, which we unfortunately don't have many of in Sussex County, but are beginning to plan what they call minute clinics and are opening them up across the country where they do have physicians staffing them. Of course, then if there's a prescription, if they're using that store, they can actually fill the prescription right there. So, immunizations, flu shots, as you're aware, flu shots are now being given in most of the pharmacies. Those kind of things are becoming more a trend. I think you're going to see more of this happening in the retail setting. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So what would be an example? I'm just curious. The high-cost medication that may prove to be unsuccessful, what would be one example of something?
Are you talking about the specialty drug?
Yes.
Specialty drugs are usually like for anti-rejection drugs.
Uh-huh.
They're talking, there's some new psoriasis drugs that are $1,000 a shot, sometimes even
uh-huh.
more than that.
Okay.
That what they're doing is recommending that the physician just try a less expensive drug first as a step therapy. If that doesn't work, then we move right up to the next level. Right. But on the other hand, a lot of times what's happening is those specialty drugs are being dispensed for long periods of time. They don't work, and then you can't do anything with them. They're just...
I'm aware of that.
You have to dispose of them. So we want to manage that a little bit better. That actually went into place March the 1st for our whole block of CVS Caremark business.
Drug disposal is another issue altogether.
I'm sorry?
Drug disposal is another issue
altogether. That is correct. Drug disposal is another... What do you do with it once you have it?
Yeah.
You can't get rid of it.
Is there a recommendation in the form of a motion?
Did you want to contribute, Dave? I
had one question. I'm wondering on the urgent medical care facilities, the ones that are not accepted for the discounts, could we set it up where the employee would not have to upfront the money for those as well as the others? I guess to encourage the employees to use them versus emergency room?
Dave, that would be something that we would have to discuss, just the mechanics of it.
Right.
It's the mechanics is more the problem than anything, because what happens is that typically if it's an in-network provider, they send the bill directly to OneNet for repricing. It comes to us. You know, the providers have already agreed to wait for payment.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not part of the network, there's no agreement in place other than to collect from the employee at the time of service. So I'm not sure how we could do that. They can use their flex spending card, though, for that and pay for it right up front, just so it's not out of their pocket, out of their wallet, but they can use their flex card if they are using that, and it's a pre-tax mm-hmm. expense, and then it can be reimbursed. So
that's a good idea.
What are those cards again? Do we
call it a take care card?
Huh? Flexible spending account.
Do we have those cards?
It's options available to
voluntary
you.
Voluntary option.
Oh, it's a voluntary option.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pre-tax deduction where for things that you might pay out of your pocket during the year, you can put money aside. It's pre-taxed, and then you can pay for it at the time of service. One thing I do want to mention is that under the new health reform law, they are taking away over-the-counter drugs from us, and so that's going to be actually, I think, implemented almost immediately, from what my understanding is. And we're getting a blip out to all of our clients that we're looking at new limits for lowering the maximums from 5,000 to 2,500.
Wow.
We're not just exactly sure when that's going to be. It might be as early as October for a January 1, 2011 date. But there are some changes that are rapidly taking place in the healthcare arena, and we're watching that very close. In fact, tomorrow and Thursday, I'll be in Washington with five of my staff at congressional meetings with congressional staff people that will be actually looking at some of these things and when they're going to be coming into play, and you know, trying to stay ahead of the eight ball when it comes
to... Good luck if you can understand it.
That is true. It is very difficult to understand, and it changes
almost daily. They don't understand it, so it's good. Yeah, good luck.
It changes daily, it believes you.
Change.
Thank you. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council implement the health insurance recommendations as recommended.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the recommendation. Read by Ms. Webb. And is there any further discussion?
Is there, what is the time frame on this, Ms. Webb? I didn't see anything in here on
Many of these we can just start right now.
Let me rephrase my question. I'm on the back.
Since
up.
It's not a monetary.
One of the recommendations I thought was for a 3-year program. To do this for 3 years, to sign on with Integra for 3 years.
Oh, that was.
We didn't do that last time. You told me we couldn't do it then. That was not part of the motion last time.
The renewal wasn't part of the motion?
It was, but not for 3 years. Because I asked that question. You said, well, we're still talking about that. We're still negotiating.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At least the way I read it, if that was weird.
Right. I was concentrated on the renewal for the year.
But,
right.
But the recommendation was for 3 years because the management fee was locked in for 3 years.
Right.
Correct?
Okay. Yes. I believe the management fee is locked in as far as the RFP proposal, and that's what we adopted, the proposal. But what we renewed is the basic life insurance. The reinsurance okay. with United Health Care.
So we, doing this motion we have here, we are carrying this on for 3 years.
This motion would let us adopt these recommendations that we want to do right now for the current year for our health plan. But I think, yes, we are with, from the RFP, was adopting that proposal was the 3-year proposal.
Okay.
That's what we adopted. We adopted Integra's saying that this is their management fee for 3 years as we adopted their proposal. At least that was my understanding, Mr. Moore. I don't know.
Applied at these recommendations.
Okay, we'll make sure we're doing it so we don't have to come back next year.
No.
Okay.
No. When we adopted the proposal to continue along with our current health care, that proposal was 3 years.
Okay.
So I never gave it any thought that we'd have to come back every year when we adopted that proposal.
Could I make a clarification in that because of the self-funding aspect of the program, we negotiate the reinsurance contract every year on your behalf, and that means going out to 5 or 6 different carriers. Part of that process this year was that you basically had your consultant go out to a number of other carriers as well. So not only did he bring in and examine things, he examined from us all of the reinsurance contracts that we had brought in. So that, yes, well, every year we'll have to go through that same process of looking at the reinsurance contract. Is United Health still providing us the best contract and the best reinsurance? What I think through the RFP was to settle the fact that we're still going to be administering those contracts and your health benefits
right.
and the programs we discussed this morning. Am I correct?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Sure. I believe we have a motion and a second to adopt the recommendations. Mm-hmm. If there's no further discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.